From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 12th day of March 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett of AgMarket.net from Windsor, Illinois, will join us to discuss the cash grain situation, and we'll take a look at the weather forecast, too, with Mike Tenuri. He's from T-Storm Weather in Chicago, and we'll do all of that on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media, Public Radio for the farming world. Find us online at WILLAG.org.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago today, corn futures finished the March contract 9.5 cents lower at $3.69¾. The May at $3.65¾, down 8¾. And July at $3.68¾, 7¾ lower. December corn at $3.71¾, down 5¼ for the day. March soybeans 12¾ lower, $8.55. The settlement price, the May at $8.59½, down 13¾. July 14¾ lower, $8.65¾. The settlement price in November beans at $8.73. That finished down 13¾. The bean oil futures down $1.15 at $26.15. Bean meal up 270 at $2.98.60. Wheat futures July contract 6½ lower at $5.06¾. The hard bread at $4.39¾ in the July, down 3 cents for the day. Live cattle futures April contract down the $3 limit at $100.07½. April feeder cattle 4.50 lower. That's the expanded limit at the 119.25, and lean hogs for the day also down to limit at $3 lower, $60.87½ in the lead option April. Crude oil for the day down $1.60, ethanol down 3.8 cents, and the heating oil at 8¾ cents lower to $1.15. That's diesel fuel. Gasoline off 20½ cents at 90 and 4 tenths of a cent. I don't think I've ever had to read it when it was below a buck. And then the Dow Jones Industrial Average down 2,000 some points. U.S. dollar up 0.953, and the gold futures at $1,581.40, down 60 dollars for the afternoon. We're now joined by Dan Zwicker at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, to take a look at the marketplace. Oh, boy, Dan, we have lots to talk about today. How are you?
I'm doing fine. I read an article somewhere on the Internet that said if you're in a heat and humid climate, it kills the viruses. So I guess I'm going to stay down here where I'm at.
Are you all the way down to Mexico, or are you just staying in Waco?
I'm 5 miles from the Mexican border, and just a few miles from South Padre Island, so it's humid and warm down here. So I'm going to stay put, I guess, where the where it kills the viruses. Not going to go up north anytime soon.
Well, we'll see how that goes. I'm not sure that they know completely about that yet. And of course, we know that it is showing up in plenty of hot areas across the planet at this point. And I'm thinking across the middle of the world. Iran has a whole bunch. They have one of the largest outbreaks. So we have to see with that one. However, the thing is that in the last week, including last night after the president's address, the trade just has not been impressed and is awfully worried. Off 2,000 points in the Dow today. The S&P 500's down around, 225 points, and NASDAQ's off around 600 points. What are you making of it all?
Well, if you look at the big picture and you go back to the 09 low or 08 low, I guess it was January 09 when we finally put a low in it, and then to the most recent high that we had here in the month of February, you basically were nearing the 38% retracement level of that big advance from 09 to the most recent high. I'm just giving you eyeball numbers here. These ain't specifics. But if you look at a 38% retracement level on the S&P 500, somewhere around 2350, 2400, and I think we've been down as low as 2500 or thereabouts, the Dow the 38% retracement level sits in around 20,700 or 21,000. And I think our low today, unless we're making a new low as we're talking, was somewhere around 21,300. So from a technical perspective, I think, and someone that's been watching the market, I've been watching the markets since 6 o'clock this morning. And if once we went into the suspension of trade and then the thing reopened, we had that hard dive down. And basically since that time, the market has kind of found support down around that low. Like I said, on the I watched the S&P 500 the most. It was around 2492. And every time we've come down near that, the market kind of found support. We did it there in the mid-session around 11:45 or so. And then we just got done doing it, and the market's trying to rally right now here while we're speaking. So it looks to me, I'm not going to try to tell anybody to pick the bottom, but I think we're at some technical levels on Fibonacci retracement points that maybe some of the selling that we've seen is drying up a little bit. And I noticed that the Fed came out with a big liquidity package of some kind. And that might, you know, begin to, you know, limit the downside selling pressure. And that's the key to anything. Of course, for those of us that's watched corn and soybean futures over the years, you know, we find a technical support point. What we want to do then is the market then tries to consolidate at that point, and then it tries to get a handle or its arms around whatever made it collapse, and whether or not that was just a correction or if it was the beginning of another leg down. And I think just looking at it from a technical perspective, that's where I think we're at. Now, as far as the makeup of the market, I actually think that one of the reasons why this market has taken such a bad hit on the coronavirus, and I know who knows what fundamentals come along to trigger, you know, a correction in the marketplace. But I think this is a direct impact of cheap interest rates for 20 years. Basically, for 20 years, nobody's been able to get any kind of return on investment with a CD, paying 1% or a half a point or 1.5% if you committed for like 3 years. So for anybody with any kind of savings or 401k, basically the market pushed you into stocks to get a return on investment. So if we would have a more broad-based portfolio among the population where we would have a certain percentage of our assets actually in cash or a CD. Now, I know the younger generation doesn't know what a 6% CD is like, but you and I do. And, you know, for the past 20 years, senior citizens that accumulated, you know, a couple $100,000 in cash or so would put it in a CD, draw 5% or whatever it is, and then they get an extra $10,000 worth of interest money to supplement their Social Security and or their pension. But that hasn't been the case for the past 20 years. You've had to go into the stock market to get any kind of return. So we don't have a diversified portfolio among the masses, especially senior citizens. And
so what you're telling me is you looked at the Fibonacci numbers, and I almost tweeted out last night that we'd be talking about this when I saw the 900-point drop after the president's address, right? I was like, oh, we're going to be talking about Fibonacci numbers tomorrow, almost guaranteed, because without fundamentals driving the marketplace, it does tend to be self-fulfilling, and these are widely viewed numbers, so the Fibonacci numbers. But what you're saying is if there was another place to put the money, that it wouldn't be in the stock market necessarily, and a lot of that's been coming out, even at a loss,
right?
I think is what you're trying to tell
right.
me. So then when you turn that around, you would think that should show some promise within the commodities because it's usually a safe haven, but that's clearly not the case at this point, right?
Well, when you get into any kind of major decline, remember the futures markets, everything in the futures markets are done on margin, you know. And once you get a big advance in one commodity or the other, or one futures market or the other, usually that hedge fund or big traders, they have positions across the board. And then what that usually does is then they usually have to liquidate those positions to kind of finance margin calls or losses in another position. And I think that's kind of what we saw in the commodity complex. Now, we saw crude oil, you know, to start with, it's, you know, rallied, and then all of a sudden it tanked because, you know, I think all of your oil companies were hedged up and they couldn't hedge up anymore. They ran out of margin calls, so they had to bail out of their short positions. And once you eliminated that buying power or that short covering in the marketplace, the market collapsed. It's very similar to kind of what happened in corn and soybean prices in 2008. When the elevator systems, the big grain companies, basically pulled out of the market because they couldn't afford to finance the margin calls anymore. And as soon as they pulled out, you could just look at it almost to the day. That was the top of the market during the winter of 08 when we had that big run-up. So it impacts all markets. The key here, I think, is if we can put some stabilization into the stock market. Whether or not this 38% retracement level is going to offer that technical support to give everybody a breather to see the extent of this coronavirus and how that is going to impact the U.S. So far, you know, I know everybody's saying it's the hospitals are going to be full and this and that. But so far, the coronavirus has been somewhat contained in the U.S. Compared to other flus and other sicknesses and other deaths. And it looks like, you know, all public events are going to be canceled. It's a shame. I was getting ready to watch March Madness. But I guess we're not going to see any of that stuff. I don't know if they've totally canceled the tournament, but at least they've canceled the
Well, they're just not going to have. I don't stay too close up to date. They're just not going to have crowds. You'll be able to watch it. Maybe they'll.
Well, I don't know. Since the NBA suspended their deal, I figured they got Sunday. They'll probably decide whether or not they want to go through with it or if they're going to suspend it.
MLB's so, talking about it this afternoon. We should know more from them later today, too. So there's just all kinds of things that are happening. We're out of time. Any final word?
Other than, I think if in the commodity business, remember, people still have to feed themselves. And then the other thing is we have had a string of export sales in all of this noise this week. So I do think, you know, farmers, you're just going to have to kind of take a deep breath here and relax a little bit and hope that we can maybe find some stability here in the stock complex at this 38% retracement level. And then maybe in a couple of weeks, we'll have a little idea whether or not this coronavirus is as big a deal as what the 24-hour news services are making it out to be. And then if we can get through, I think, the next couple of weeks without any kind of major outbreak, we'll maybe look back at this as it was just one of those opportunities to buy the market. So, but I'm no genius. So we'll just have to see how all the emotions play out here over the next couple of weeks. But I do think, at least from the big picture, I do think the stock market now has reached a level that it should find some kind of stability. And then we'll maybe spin around in a sideways consolidation phase until we kind of get our arms around this coronavirus and how bad it's going to be in the U.S.
Hey, thanks so much.
Very well, Todd.
Dan Zwicker is with Zwicker Consulting from Waco, Texas. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. You may find us online at willag.org, W-I-L-L-A-G.org. There you can listen to all, most in fact, all of our agricultural programming in its entirety. Or if you'd prefer to look us up as a podcast, you can do that too in your favorite podcast applications on Stitcher, SoundCloud, Spotify, NPR One, the Google Play Store, and iTunes. On this Thursday, let's check the weather forecast. Mike Tenner is here. He's with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, though he's traveling today across the Midwest. Hey, Mike, thanks for being with us today.
Fantastic being here, too, Todd. I'm out in Ohio speaking at a couple of grain conferences to some producers, and they're real concerned about the wetness because the guys out here were at the epicenter of the flooding situation last spring. And unfortunately, for most of the Corn Belt, it looks like it's going to stay pretty wet over the next couple of weeks. We can see that not just one, two, or three systems are going to come through, but even more than that, they'll produce areas of rain and even some snow from Nebraska and Minnesota onto the north at times. So there's a very wet period of weather coming up. And the real main event of the entire scenario starts up in about a week from now and then progresses through next weekend when the large-scale system moves through and produces heavy totals. And we are expecting renewed flooding in at least the Mississippi Delta region from, say, the southern tip of Illinois onto the south. It's pretty clear that heavy rains are coming up for that region, and they don't have any room for it.
What's the pathway of each of those storms?
Well, initially, the first couple of systems will be moving in from the northwest, so that's kind of the one that we deal with later today and tonight from Illinois onto the east with not a major rain event, but just some showers, maybe even a couple of thunderstorms. But the one system that starts to move in this weekend, that one comes in from the southwest. And then the much larger system after that is when an entire system in the Rockies moves pretty much due east. And that will move right on top of us. And so more or less originating with a little more ability to tap into the tropical air in the Gulf of Mexico.
How much rainfall do you expect from that one? And I know it's a very long ways out at this point.
Well, we're just saying 2 to 4 inches across most of the Corn Belt, especially to the south and east of Iowa. That's where the heaviest totals would be, so including Missouri, Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, and then on to the south. We also need to keep in mind that large portions of Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, even Nebraska will see significant totals, so the hard red winter wheat crop is going to be seeing quite a bit of rain as well. Now, the hard red winter wheat crop will generally be welcoming some of the rain that's coming up, but in the soft red winter wheat areas of the Corn Belt and Delta, we just don't need to see any more rain. So pretty much it's going to be wet going into the very end of the month and the start of April. And then once we get into April, it's hard to say what it's going to look like. But we're certainly will be looking for a pattern change. But keep this in mind, Todd. This is one of the more interesting things and one of the things I talked about today at the presentation. The last month across the 7-state region of the Corn Belt that was drier than normal by a considerable amount was April of 2018. It was almost 2 years ago now. Ever since then, it's basically been very close to normal or way wetter than normal, and that's why we're so saturated.
Did you learn anything from those Ohio farmers as it relates to agronomics, what they're concerned about coming back and prevent plant acres that you found of interest?
I didn't really hear a whole lot about that. The only thing that was pretty clear is that they don't want to think any more about the past. They just want to reset and move on to the next year. So I kind of said, okay, that sounds fair to me. But unfortunately, it looks like it's going to stay wet for a little bit.
Okay, turn your attention to South America, where it had been dry for about 3 weeks in Argentina. I'm told rainfall has finally come there.
Yeah, Argentina had basically been in what we would consider a flash drought. It was pretty moist until February 17th, and then it completely stopped raining. And even though some areas still need a little bit more rain, they did see some heavy totals over the last 2 days. We have more rain coming up, so the wetness or dryness story in Argentina is a thing of the past, and harvest is only a few weeks away from starting.
And how about conditions in Brazil?
Well, Brazil still has to contend with some dryness on the second crop, corn. The southern areas where about half of the crop is produced were very dry. That same weather pattern affecting Argentina also affects that crop. They're just wrapping up planting at the moment, and so there is time for rains to show up. And there are some rains coming up in about a week. But if we don't see ample rains through the end of the month, then we're going to be in a situation where that crop is at some risk in April. At this point, again, there is some rain coming up, so we have some more time to think about it, but we are monitoring that for sure.
Hey, thanks so much, and good luck getting back to Chicago.
Thanks very much. We'll chat next week from the home office.
That's Mike Tenuri. He is with T-Storm Weather in Chicago, Illinois. We're now joined to take a look at the cash grain market by Matt Bennett and agmarket.net. And while Mike was traveling in Ohio, Matt is traveling in, are you in Nebraska? Where are you today?
Well, as we speak, I'm in Nebraska, and then I'm going to be speaking northeast of Omaha in Iowa this evening. So I was in Manhattan this morning in Kansas, and then making the short five-hour drive up to where I'm going to be tonight.
Oh, so they're not canceling things to the west. And, you know, there is a geographic difference. I bet you've talked about this with your family as to the way it concerns. I know the western part of the Corn Belt not nearly as concerned, but they don't have the kinds of outbreaks and the population that we do in the eastern part of the Corn Belt, I suppose.
Right. And I think, you know, I mean, our attendance at the meeting this morning was actually pretty good. And so, you know, I guess I would probably consider going home, you know, if they were more concerned, you know, and maybe if there was a case here and there, you know, in this part of the world, but there hasn't been yet. And then I've got, I'm going to be on Market to Market this weekend. So, you know, they've been trying to figure out exactly how to go about that because they're pretty concerned with what's going on. And they called me to ask me, where have you been this week? And then I gave them a list of everywhere I went, and they okayed me to come in. So the other guest for this weekend was Naomi Bloom, and she's not, because there's two people in her county that's got coronavirus.
Well, if you get stuck because we see each other, you can just come here and I'll send it to them. How about that? You let them
there we
know
go.
That from a Market to Market there in Iowa. That and I mean that, too. Just give me a call. Okay, so what do you think about what happened in the commodity markets today?
Well, I don't know what to tell you other than it's definitely a panic situation. And, you know, there's certainly a lot of people wanting to pull money out of just about every market that there is. And so at this stage of the game, there's a lot of fear about global demand. You know, you've got to ask yourself, is everyone in the world going to continue to eat? Obviously, they are. I'm not trying to downplay the situation by any stretch of the imagination. But at the same time, you know, obviously, the amount of people that we've lost as compared to, say, the flu or, you know, or a host of other things has been fairly minute. And so we've got to hope that that trend continues. It doesn't mean it's not important. It's just that from a global demand perspective, I don't think that a lot in the long run is going to change.
What do you think producers should do, if anything?
Not much right now. I don't like to make panic decisions. I don't like to, you know, get forced into decisions I don't want to make. And I certainly don't want to sell any new crop at a price that's not profitable before I've ever put a seed in the ground. So at this stage of the game, I think you just try to not watch any more than what you have to and make sure that you're ready to act whenever you do get an opportunity.
Turning away from the disaster is really hard to do. I bet farmers are just really worried today.
Yes. I mean, there's no question there was a significant amount of concern in the meeting that I was at this morning, and I'm not totally sure that I made them feel terribly rosy because we just talked about what's actually going on from profitability standpoint, from the farm sector standpoint, and it certainly was a sobering discussion. But, you know, just because something's inconvenient doesn't mean that it's not going on, and we're just trying to shed light on that and try to make sure that we're ready for whatever comes our way.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net, joined us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Look us up. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. You can do that at willag.org, willag.org, or find us as a podcast in your favorite podcast applications. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason.